We're in the home of Mr. Warren Dering in Grapevine. Today is April the 11th, 2012, and Barbara Lee is here with us, and we're going to interview Mr. Dering about anything he remembers about his early life and his family, and particularly in the Coppell area. So, Mr. Dering, why don't we start out, and you tell us your complete name and when you were born and where.
Well, my complete name is Norman Warren Dering, and that, of course, created a lot of confusion when I went into service, because then I became Norman Dering. But now I'm in Medicare, I'm still Norman Dering. But the family still calls me Warren Dering. But I was born actually on the rural Route 1 from Coppell at a neighborhood they call Sowers, if you've ever heard of Sowers.
I have.
And the office building at the south remote parking lot at DFW now was, according to my dad, I had taken him out there and showed him when they started some construction, and he said that particular building was just about the site of the house they were living in when I was born. And of course, I was born in January 31. There was a lot of rain at that time, and the doctor, when they called him to come deliver me, he got stuck in the mud coming down there. And a friend of my mother's, Virgie Taylor, helped my daddy deliver me. And the doctor finally got there, but they already had me dressed and cleaned up and everything when he got there.
And what year was this?
That was 1922.
And tell us your mother and father's names.
Sidney Dering and Cressy Dering.
And the street you lived on?
The street?
Uh-huh.
Rural Route 1. No streets.
No streets, okay. So the road you lived on didn't really have a name?
Didn't have... No, at the place where I was born, there was no road name in front of it.
Uh-huh. Now, how long did your family live in that house?
They didn't live there long. They moved to Gentry School Road, which was actually about 3 miles south of Coppell. They lived in that house on Gentry School Road for a long time. Well, actually, till about 1942, I guess.
So, how old were you when they moved to that house?
Probably less than a year old.
Oh, really? Okay. Now, do you remember hearing where your parents lived before they moved to Sowers?
No, that's the only places that I remember them living.
Uh-huh. So you were living on Gentry Road until about 42, so you were about 20?
Right.
20. And then did you move? They moved? What happened then?
Then my dad rented a farm in Carrollton and lived over there 1 year. And then moved, then rented another farm, and it was in Coppell, and moved back to Coppell.
And where was that farm located in Coppell? Do you remember?
Yeah, but...
was it on the south end or the north end?
It would have been south of... Yeah. It would have been southwest of Coppell, actually.
Okay.
You would have gone up Coppell west to, I think, what it turned out to be County Line Road.
Uh-huh.
And go around County Line Road to about the second turn where the farm started that he was renting at that
time. And did you cross a railroad track to get there? So it was up in the airport area. Now, in 1942, what happened to you? What did you do?
I went into service, went into the Air Corps as a cadet program.
And where were you stationed?
Initially, I was stationed at in San Antonio for pre-flight and went from there to Jones Field in Bonham for pilot training, and ended up eventually in navigation training at San Marcos Army Air Base. Finished my navigation training at San Marcos.
And when you were you transferred overseas?
Yes, after getting my crew training, was shipped to, originally I left, I was assigned to England, but when we got over there, there was seven crews that went over at the same time, and they decided after we got over there they needed us in Italy worse than they needed us in England. So there was three crews of us that they transferred on to Italy. And so we went from England then to Naples, Italy, and then we were assigned to the 97th Bomb Group, which was in Foggia, Italy. And Foggia, if you're familiar with the Italy and the boot is, and it has a spur on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, where Foggia, Italy was on that spur. And we flew all of our missions from that point to southern Germany, Austria, Hungary, Poland, and Czechoslovakia.
Now, what was your exact job on these bombers?
My job was to handle the navigation. And I was... We crossed the Alps on every mission, Italian Alps. And so I had to keep up with where we were. And then the last 17 missions, I flew 35 missions in all. And the last 17, I flew as lead navigator for the entire bomb group.
Did you have any... Did you have any near misses?
Well, virtually every mission, they would, the Germans would shoot at us with the anti-aircraft shells,
uh-huh.
and 75 millimeter shells, And they would try to zero in on us on our altitude and direction we were flying. And they would shoot at us primarily when we were on the bomb run, because when we were on the bomb run, we had to stay level and, and direction the same for the bombs to hit target right. So they would try to get our altitude and direction all zeroed in, and these 75 millimeter shells would had an explosive in them that they would at certain altitude, whatever they set it at, they would explode and just throw little fragments of cast iron in every direction. So a lot of times we get those pieces of, we called it flak, pieces of flak in the plane that the wings caught the most of it because there's more expanse to them. And so we had, sometimes the flak was worse than other times. Sometimes they'd have extra guns come in to protect some targets. And and I was fortunate, I was blessed that I never got hit by any piece of flak. They may have gone by me or something. And I had the lead pilot that I flew with after I put on the lead crew, he thought I was charmed because no one had ever been hit on the plane that I was on.
Oh.
And the strange thing about it, it turned out that when I completed my 35 missions, he still had two missions to go to complete his tour. And on the first mission he went, his tail gunner got hit in the leg. And he came back to the squadron. And as soon as he got there, he looked me up and he told me, says, Norm said, Tommy got hit in the leg. And said, I had to drop him off at the hospital. I'm gonna run back up there and check on him. I don't think it was anything serious, but you wanna go with me? And I said, sure, I'll go with you. And when we started out, he told me, said he never would have got hit if you'd have been with us. and he believed that.
Now, you were saying earlier that you were moved from Italy to where?
Well, Italy, I came from Italy, I came home.
Okay.
I finished my tour of duty at Italy, and then I was shipped home on a 30-day leave.
And then?
But the war ended while I was home on leave.
So that was in, what, 45?
That was in, that would have been 45.
And you came back home, and where did you live when you returned home?
With my parents.
And they were living then in Coppell on that farm?
Yeah.
That you talked about. Okay, and then just to get everything in order, you got married what year?
In October of 45.
Okay.
Got engaged in July of 45.
Okay. And your wife's name was?
Charlotte.
What was her maiden name?
Gentry.
Okay. And was she living in Coppell?
She was living in Coppell at the time. Yes.
Okay. Do you remember her parents' names?
Ernest and Pearl Gentry.
Okay. And where were they living at the time? Where was she and her parents living when you got married?
Still living in the house that she was born in, I guess, probably. She wasn't born there either, but they'd lived in another house when she was born, I think.
I'm not sure. I don't remember that. Remember.
Was the house you remember where she was living when you got married, was it on the main street of Cup Hill?
Yes, across the street from your house.
Yeah, okay. So it was the Mitchell house, or was it the one next to it, Ernest's
house? They didn't live in that house. Yeah. It was another house. Right next to it.
Next to it, okay.
The house where the cable company has an office now. Yeah.
Right.
Eventually it became telephone office.
Yes.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay, now, so when you and your wife got married, where did you then set up house? Where did you live then?
We lived in a efficiency apartment in Grapevine.
How long did you live there?
Just kind of, it was a garage apartment, just attached to a garage.
Uh-huh. How long did you live there?
Good while, so probably a year or so.
And then where did you move?
Then Charlotte's dad built him a new house, and made a triplex or a duplex out of the house they'd been living in. And so we rented one of the duplexes from him. George and Dorothy rented the other one.
George and Dorothy
Corbin.
Okay. And I know that house because that was where a telephone operator was and everything when I was a kid. All right. Now, let's see. Let's go back, Mr. Daring, if you would. Let's go back to your brothers and sisters. Who were your brothers and sisters?
My brothers, R.F., was my oldest brother. Clark was the next one. And then myself. And then my youngest brother was Aubrey.
Okay. And so they were possibly born before they moved to the house on Gentry Road, is that right? Since some of them were older than you?
Yes. R.F. was born before they moved to the house on Gentry Road, but Clark was probably born in that house on Gentry School Road.
Let's talk about your school days. Where did you go to school?
Went to elementary school at Coppell. Went to high school at Carrollton.
So you started school about 1928? You were six?
I started in 29. 1928 was when they changed the law on the age to start school.
From what age?
The beginning age was six. It had been seven, I think.
Oh, really?
And they changed it to six. I was old enough to start school in 28, but there were so many, because you're really getting 2 years of students at the same time, and they didn't have room for them. My dad was trustee, and so he figured he would get some criticism if his boy started the first grade and somebody else's same age couldn't start the first grade. So he held me out for a year.
So you started first grade in 1929. So you went to the brick school building that was Coppell School.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did you go through the eighth grade there?
Went to the seventh grade then.
Okay.
When I graduated from high school, we only had 11 grades.
Okay. So for the eighth grade, you went to Carrollton.
Yes.
Carrollton High School. And so you graduated from Carrollton High School then in?
1939.
Do you have any memories of Coppell School? What memories do you have of your elementary days?
I have memories of going down in the basement and getting cold.
Now, wait a minute. There was a basement? Or was that in Carrollton?
That was in Coppell.
Oh, really?
There was a.
Now, we never heard that there was a basement.
Where they kept the coal for heating.
Really?
And they'd bring and carry that coal up the steps to the coal burning stoves.
Okay.
I can remember my mother fussing at me for getting so dirty.
And do you think you were 7, 8 years old? 9?
Yeah.
Where was the basement? How did you get there?
If you went in the
just
front
down some steps, it wasn't a big base. It wasn't a whole area. It was really just a place for them to dump the coal. The truck would dump the coal through a kind of an opening.
Yeah.
When you went in the front door of the school building, did you turn right, or how did you get to this place? Do you remember?
It would have been probably been more to the right.
Okay. And it was just a door that you opened?
Yeah.
Was it by the boys' bathroom? You remember?
Possibly.
Okay.
Probably.
That's interesting. See, you're telling us stuff we didn't know. What about your teachers? Do you remember the names of your teachers?
My first grade teacher was Ms. Moore. And that's the only one I remember. I skipped the second grade. My dad had a sister, my aunt, that was an old maid. And long about that time, was the state run out of money to pay the school teachers. The teachers were all paid by the state then. And they paid them in script, which some of them would take to the bank, and the bank would discount it and give them the cash money for the script. Mm-hmm. But she kept all of hers and lived with us. She was third grade teacher. So she taught me that year that I was, should have been in the first grade, but wasn't. And so when it came time to go back to school then, they just put me in the third grade instead of the second grade.
I see.
And my teacher then was Alma Brown, I believe it was.
I've heard that name.
And do you remember?
Alma Brown, she married a Broadhurst.
Do you remember who your principal was?
Travis Fuller.
Okay.
We've heard that name a lot. Do you remember any other teachers?
His wife's name was Ophelia.
Travis Fuller.
Do you remember any other teachers?
Francis Goad taught fourth grade. Yeah, and that was it, because Alma taught third grade.
Now, what was Alma's last name?
Brown.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Francis Goad taught fourth grade. And then Ophelia Fuller, the principal's wife, taught the fifth grade. And then she and the principal together taught sixth or seventh grade.
What was the school building like? Windows, heat?
Brick building with usual windows, no air conditioning.
What about lunchtime?
Lunchtime, we took our lunches. And mine was usually wrapped up in a newspaper. Some of the more affluent ones had lunch kits, but.
Where did you eat your lunch?
I think we just ate in the room at our desk.
Did you? What about outside the school? When you went outside the school building, were there any buildings around there?
No buildings, just the lot that the school was on was a large size lot. Went all the way down to the railroad. And it was just playground area. We played football, baseball.
Did you, were you involved in sports, competitive sports?
Not really.
Did the school play other schools?
We had some of that, a little bit of that, but not much.
Were there any other activities at the school?
I can remember we'd have something, seemed like it was at Halloween, where the general public would come and get involved in things. I remember my mother used to make lemonade in a big number three tub at those get-togethers.
Mm-hmm. And where would they hold those get-togethers? Inside the school?
Inside the school. We had a stage, and it must have been some seating in an auditorium. Like, mm-hmm. I can't remember what kind of seating we had, but I can remember the stage and the curtain that they would roll down to close off the stage. And I remember it had advertising on this curtain.
Oh, so you had, do you remember that? He's talking about an oleo drop, and it was painted, things were painted on it?
Yeah.
Advertisements? Was it at the front of the stage?
It was at the front of the stage, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember ever seeing any plays?
Yeah. Some going on there. I remember one time they had a fundraising deal, I think it was, called it a womanless wedding.
Yeah.
And they had that on the stage.
Did you participate in it?
Huh?
Were you in it?
No. This was adults.
Oh, it was adults doing it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Men dress up like women.
Uh-huh. Now,
and I remember one thing about that curtain that it just pull up and down with a rope, but it had signs on it that businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one that, Coppell Garage. Don't cuss, call us.
Oh. Do you remember who might have owned the Coppell Garage?
Don't have any idea.
I don't have any idea. What, who were some of your friends in school?
J.W. Thompson was probably my best friend. He lived between Coppell and Carrollton, but he attended elementary school at Coppell. And actually, he's the only one I remember.
That you remember. How did you get to school every day?
In good weather, we walked.
So you walked all the way from your farm, from sort Gentry, of southwest?
From Gentry School Road to Coppell.
That was a long way.
It's a pretty good walk. But if the weather was bad, well, my mother would take us in the car.
Mm-hmm. What other questions should we ask about school? Is there anything that we should ask him? Think about that. Let's talk about, of course, I remember your brother Clark because he owned the service station.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that? Were you ever around Clark, and when did he establish a service station and that sort of thing?
Well, he was, during the war, he was farming when the war first started, and that excused him from the draft, but they finally drafted him anyway, and he went into the Navy, and when he came home from the Navy, he bought this little service station. Billy Trigg had been running it, and it was just a little two-pump station, and that was it.
Now, is this the station that was close to 114 there?
At 114 mm-hmm. and Beltline Road.
So he started that, or bought it sometime in, say, 45, something like that.
Yeah.
And he was he already married?
Yes, he was already married.
Okay. So they had the service station there for a long time, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did you ever visit them there?
Well, yeah, frequently.
Did you ever help out?
1 week when his wife left him. The one that he started out with there. And then he remarried. And when he remarried, he had never taken a vacation. Never taken time off. Well, I encouraged him to take some time off when he got married, and he did. And so I stayed down at the station. And Charlotte with me. I mean, she helped me. We stayed down there and
Charlotte's your wife.
Going while he was gone.
Charlotte's your wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that was the only time he took off from.
And what was Clark's wife's name again?
His first wife's name was Mildred. His second wife's name was Lily.
Lily. Okay, yeah.
Okay. When you were in elementary school, do you remember businesses in Coppell? What businesses were there?
There was a gin.
Yeah, cotton gin.
Cotton gin. There was, of course, there's a barbershop. everybody remembers, I guess. And the only other, well, there was a business in the building on the corner. When you turn and go south, right in that corner.
Where my mother's house is.
Yeah.
Where I lived. And which corner? The southeast or southwest?
It would have been on the... of that particular little plot of ground, it would have been on the northwest corner of the lot, if it had been the big lot.
Okay. So that's about where the post office was? Was it close to the post office?
It would have been across the street from where the post office was.
So it was the southwest corner.
There was a drugstore.
Okay. Yes.
Minnie McGee's.
Right.
Drugstore.
We know where that was, huh?
And just on the opposite side of the street from the drugstore was a building that was a Coppell Garage.
Yeah.
Oh, the Gentry Garage on our corner.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the southeast corner. Yeah, okay. We've heard of that. We don't have any pictures of it, but it's there. Now, did you get your hair cut by Floyd Harwell?
Oh, yes.
Tell us, so you would have started getting a haircut by 1928 or something, when you started school?
I think when I started school, my dad was still cutting my hair.
But later. Now, when you went to Floyd to get your hair cut, what do you remember about his barber shop? Where was it, and what do you remember about it?
Well, I just remember it was just a one-room deal. And it seems to me it only had one chair, one barber's chair.
And was it attached to his house?
I believe it was.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. What about grocery stores? Do you remember any grocery stores?
Well, just east of the barbershop, Ernest Gentry had a little grocery store and one pump.
Mm-hmm.
For gas. And,
what about, do you remember a washateria?
No, it wasn't a washateria there any time. But
before the war, I guess.
That I was there.
We've heard the name Minnie McGee a lot. Did you know her?
She's the one to run the drugstore.
I know, but you knew her?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
What was the drugstore like?
It wasn't very big, but it had a soda bar. I mean, she sold drinks. And sold ice cream. And I remember taking eggs down and trading eggs for ice cream.
Great.
Oh.
And you remember going in the front of the drugstore? Was the, like, were there big glass windows?
Seemed like there was.
Mm-hmm. And it was one big room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Inside, and it had a soda fountain, and then I guess it had other counters for...
I can't remember there being a lot of merchandise in there. In fact, I don't remember any merchandise as far as that goes.
And but
other
you got
than just the fountain stuff, ice cream and drinks.
You got your mail delivered, rural route.
Right.
But sometimes you would go to the post office.
Don't remember ever going to the post office.
What about anything like, did you ever go to the movies? Anywhere?
Went to the movies in Grapevine.
Did you? When did that happen? How old were you when you would go to the movies?
The first time I remember going to the movies, my uncle took me. And the movies were silent.
And you went?
He'd read the words to me.
Oh, really? And you were at Grapevine?
In Grapevine, yeah.
And so
I was under 6 years old, really probably good. 4 or 5 years old.
4 or 5 years old. And do you remember anything else special taking place in Coppell? Oh, I was going to ask you this. Where was the gym that you remembered? Was it on the same street as the drugstore, or was it further?
It's on the same street, but on a different opposite side of the street.
Okay. So that was the one that I remember. Do you remember, was it big, small, metal, wooden?
It was metal, as I remember it. It was a pretty good sized gym. I don't remember. Can't remember it being tore down, but I remember it wasn't long after that that it wasn't there anymore. I can't remember when it was torn down.
Do you remember who ran the gym?
No.
Yeah. You had some.
When you started to school at the brick building.
Yes.
Okay. Before the school that they had been going to prior to that was in Coppell, do you remember that?
No, I don't.
You don't remember what the building looked like or anything? Don't remember it?
I probably never saw it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because we didn't. I can't remember as when I was under 6 years old of ever going to Coppell, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Did you, what other families might you have known in Coppell? Did you know the Kirklands?
Knew the Kirklands.
That was, what's her name? Jewel?
Knew the Cosbys.
Cosbys. What was?
You, the Hodges.
Albert.
You, Albert Hodge.
What was Jack's mother's name, her first name?
Jenny.
Jenny. Did you know Jenny Kirkland?
Miss Kirkland. Aunt Jenny.
Aunt Jenny.
No, I can't say that I do.
Did y'all go to church in Coppell?
Huh?
Did you go to church in Coppell?
Yes.
And what church was it?
It was a Baptist church.
What do you remember about the building or anything like that?
The building was just a frame building, and they had wires stretched across parts of it for the Sunday school rooms. Curtains slide up and down the wires.
Yeah.
To make Sunday school rooms. It certainly wasn't anything fancy about it.
Do you remember anything at all This would be before his time, I'm sure. But do you remember anything at all about Bethel, a Bethel church or Bethel school?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. You were too young, probably, because it was gone by the time you started school.
Yeah.
Did you know Dobekas? That was later, I guess. Don't think you knew the Dobekas. Leadbetters?
Knew the Leadbetters.
Do you remember where they lived?
They lived out on east of Coppell. Between Coppell and
Carrollton.
River.
Yeah, right. What about the river? Do you remember ever going to the river to swim or picnic or anything like that?
We went to the river several times for picnic. In the beginning, I remember when people bought a property, you know, on the prairie, they would buy, whoever was selling the property, that'll quit in a minute. They'd give a little acreage on the river for firewood, so that if you bought the farm on the prairie, like where we live was on the prairie, there wasn't a sign of a tree anywhere. You didn't have any fuel to eat with. So you had this little plot of ground on the riverbank that you go down and cut your trees and get your firewood for the winter.
Is that what your family did?
They did that. I can remember them doing that, but it didn't last long because the wood didn't last long. And then the squatters took over all these spots that the farmers originally had for firewood.
Well, do you remember where your spot was? Was it?
It was just on the riverbank, is all I know.
Somewhere east of town, down?
Yeah, it would have been, yeah, east of Coppell.
But you don't remember ever, okay, when you went for picnics, is that where you went?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down there. In fact, I remember one time my mother got real upset because she fixed up food to take. We'd go down and my dad would fish. I can't remember me ever doing any fishing down there. I was probably too young then. My older brothers might have, but she had fixed up food to take down there. And one of the things she made was a pineapple upside down cake. And she scared me on a glass deal, the cake plate, and had it. And while we were there and playing and fishing and doing whatever, somebody stole that cake. Well, the cake plate, the next Sunday, somebody put it in their car. Huh. It was wrapped up in a grapevine sun that had the address torn off. And until the day she died, she blamed Dale Moody for that.
Oh, oh my goodness.
And I don't know whether he did or not, but.
Okay, that just reminds me. Now, tell us who Dale Moody was.
Dale Moody was the son of Claude Moody, who lived out, actually, west part of Coppell. And Dale was an exceptional athlete. He was outstanding in football when he was in high school. He was, I idolized Dale Moody personally. Thought he was the greatest thing it ever was. And we were good friends. While he was there, he was the one that won me to the Lord, to start with. Mm-hmm. He was a preacher at the time. He started preaching when he was 16.
Okay. Yeah.
And going to school at Baylor. He'd come home on the weekends. And I would go with him on Sunday evenings when he was visiting Memorial Church. Go along with him. The deal then was the Baptist church just had a half-time pastor. And I think Methodists were the same. And so on the nights, evenings that we didn't have church at the Baptist church, well, Dale, when he was preaching for us, he had preached at the Methodist church. One evening I had spent the day with the Moody's and all, and he was going to preach to the Methodists that night. And to get me out of his hair so he could prepare his sermon, he gave me an assignment of some scripture to memorize. So that night, when he got up to read his scripture, he had me stand up and quote it. And of course, but Dale Moody was, before he quit coming to Coppell to preach, when he would come to the pulpit to preach, he carried nothing with him but a Greek New Testament. And he could quote the entire New Testament. He was a brilliant scholar. I kept up with Dale all the way through, and we remained friends for a long time. He was... At that time, we only had the King James Version. And somebody, I don't know who started it, but they were going to have a update the King James Version, get it more standard English. He was on a 12-man committee to rewrite the King James into the Revised Standard Version. After they changed and came out with the Revised Standard Version, he'd get up and preach. Sometimes he would quote his scripture in King James, then turn around and re-quote it in the Revised Standard Translation. He had a fantastic memory. Unbelievable. And a few years ago, when Dr. Macbeth from the seminary had been an interim pastor at our church, and I had talked to him and told him that I had known Dale, and he knew of him because he had been involved in history at Southwestern Seminary. So one day he told me that he was on a committee in Nashville and Dale Moody was on the same committee. And they were having a meeting the next week. And I told him, I said, hello. He said, okay. Well, I knew what he was thinking. I'll tell him, but he won't know who you are. But anyway, when Dr. Macbeth came back the next week to church and said I told Dale what you said and asked him if he knew you, and he said, yeah, Warren and Charlotte, I know him. So he was the first person I ever baptized.
Okay. Where were you baptized?
Where was I baptized?
Where?
In the creek.
Okay.
Dirty creek. just south of Coppell. It was a creek that...
Okay, see, we have a big picture of a revival, or it was after a revival in 1931, I believe.
I've seen that big picture. It was in the river.
Uh-huh. Is that the same place?
Elm Park of the Trinity River. But I wasn't baptized in the river.
Oh, that one? Okay.
The creek, when I was baptized, the creek was flowing enough that it had enough water in it that we could use. There was three of us baptized at the same time. Myself and Marinelle Perkle and another young boy that I don't have a slightest idea what his name was.
How old were you when you were baptized?
I was 11.
Okay. And it was in a creek south of Coppell.
Yeah.
Was it out toward that farm that your parents lived on?
No, you said it was. Who was it that had a swimming pool out there?
The Lancaster Farm?
Yeah, the Lancaster Farm. It was out.
Out there.
Toward that Lancaster Farm where the creek was.
Cottonwood Creek.
Cottonwood Creek, yeah. Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
We're getting to the end here of one disc. Is there anything else that we need to ask him to remember for us? We've covered just about everything I can think of.
Well, one thing, were you ever in the Bullock Cemetery?
Bullock?
Uh-huh.
Yes, I've been there.
I thought you may have gone to maybe Bill Kirkland's funeral.
Might have.
Remember Bill Kirkland? Okay.
Probably did. I've been to several funerals at the Bullock Cemetery.
Okay.
That's good.
Do you remember what kind of fence it had around it?
If it had a fence, it was just a barbed wire fence.
Okay.
Do you remember any other cemeteries?
No.
That was probably the most important one.
The one that he would have been
in. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to turn this off now. You've been a wonderful person to give us some memories.
Well, I wish I'd remember more, but I